Welcome, everybody. We want to thank you for joining us online today. We're so excited that you're here with us at Bethany Church. My name is Quinn. I'm the student pastor here. And God has given us a word today, so I hope you've come ready to hear from God. I hope you've come prepared. I want to remind you that last week, Randy gave an amazing sermon. And so I challenge you, after this sermon, if you have some time, to go back and watch that sermon. Only God knew, as he set up these sermons in the month of December, what he was doing. And I want to make sure you guys go back and watch some of those sermons that he put out. Incredible content, and I think they would challenge your life. Today, we're into a new thought, a new idea before the new year hits us. I want to challenge you with something that God has challenged me with in my heart. And over the past week and month, he's really opened up something new to me. And so I want to share it with you today. Our series, or our one sermon today, is called Made New. Made New is this idea of, I don't know about you, but 2020 was rough. It was hard. There was a lot of hard things in 2020. And as I've talked to a lot of you over the past couple weeks and months, I realize it's the same. Our congregation has went through a lot. Over the quarantine and then even opening back up, there's been a lot of things that we've had to go through. And I know it's been hard for you. I tried in 2020 to make a commitment, if you will, try to make a New Year's resolution. To be honest, I couldn't even think about what it was. And as I thought about that, I thought, well, that's so 2020 of me that I can't even think of my New Year's resolution of last year, of what I wanted to do for the year. And really all a New Year's resolution is a commitment that you're going to make to accomplish the next year. And I wonder if you're like me, after not even remembering my 2020 resolution, what should I do for 2021? Should I even make a commitment? Because honestly, I felt like the worst purchase of 2020 for me was a calendar, because nothing that I tried to do seemed to happen. It seemed like many things were canceled. Many things were postponed, or even like family events, it seemed like we couldn't have those. And so 2021 seems very uncertain. And so I came to this place as I began to prepare the message today about what would it look like if we made a commitment in 2021. You know, 2021 is this idea of what is it for a believer to make a commitment in 2021 and that carry out throughout the whole year. And I hope today, as we dive into the scripture today, as you begin to find your Bible where you're at, maybe your phone, pull it out. We're going to walk through this passage of scripture, and I challenge you to leave your Bible open, because we're going to go through it verse by verse, and I want you to see what God is doing. And here's the thought that I have today. In 2020, we had a lot of great things maybe we had planned, but it didn't work out right. Have we come to a place, and this is just a thought that I have, that we've actually started social distancing from Jesus? That we've actually begun to separate ourselves from a person in the form of Jesus and our Heavenly Father in the form of Jesus, who is really there for us in times of need, of pain, of suffering, and loss. And the very one that we know we can run to, many of us, just like people that we social distance from around the area or even in our communities, we begin to separate ourselves, social distance, if you will, ourselves away from God. And I hope today's series will maybe unite a fire in you, made new, about what are we supposed to do as believers. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open those up. We're going to be looking first at John chapter 15. John chapter 15 is this amazing verse, and I want to unpack it for you today in the brief time that we're together. If you have those open, go ahead and skip down to verse 11. John chapter 15, verse 11, we'll begin reading there. It says this: "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my command, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known unto you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask from the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. I know we read a lot there, but keep your Bibles open. I want to walk through this passage with you. Our first point of today's message is simply this. It's time to keep his commands. It's time to keep his commands. I believe there's been a season in the church, and I've seen it in my life and maybe others around, that we have come to a place that we understand God's commands, but we're not really keeping his commands. The biggest thought around a command is that we actually follow what it is saying. It's one thing entirely just to understand a command. It's completely different to have a commitment to that command. And I wonder today as you sit there, do you have a commitment to God's commands? Are you committed to the purpose that God has placed out in your life? Maybe you're asking the question even now, what is the command that I'm supposed to follow? What am I supposed to do? What is the command that he has for me? I want to walk you through the passage in verse 12. He tells us today what the command is. And maybe you can ask yourself if you're keeping it. Verse 12, look there with me. My command is this, that you love each other as I have loved you. Think about that for a moment. Is this something that you're good at? Do you love one another? Are you good at loving others? Maybe you are. But I'll be honest, sometimes I'm not the greatest at this. That I don't just love others just so openly and maybe even evenly. And I'm reminded in this verse of the simple truth of it's entirely different just to love someone than it is to love like Christ loved. You see, Christ's love is really the foundation of love. It's really the example of what true love really is. I mean, it's this idea that it's more unity instead of rivalry. It's more trusting people instead of having suspicion for people. It's this idea that we come to a place that we can understand where Christ was. You say, well, where was Christ? We see this idea laid out in the further verses in verse 13. Go there with me. He says this, greater love hath no man than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. I love what he follows it with. You are my friends if you do what I command. You see, Jesus set it up perfectly here. He says, I want you to love like me. Well, how do you do that? See, he's speaking to disciples in this verse, but he's speaking to us. He says, I'm going to lay my life down for you. That is true love. Here's the question that I have to push before you today. Is your love so great you would lay down your life for someone? Maybe a wife or your kids? Would you lay down your life for them? That is the true meaning of love, having this overabundance of commitment to somebody. And I wonder today, do you have that commitment to God? Because I think sometimes that is missing in our lives as believers. I mean, he describes it so perfectly here, and we see it now. Disciples didn't see it then, but we see it now in the form of the cross. You see the cross not only just being Christ on the cross, and our pastor said it perfectly last week. He said, Christmas is not just about Jesus. Christmas is about us. You see, when Jesus was on that cross, he thought of you. He thought of you while he was on that cross. That's why he was sent. That's why he was sent to this earth to live, not only amongst sin. He didn't sin. He was perfect. He was a spotless lamb, but he was the perfect sacrifice. Yes, in the words of our pastor last week, it was something that we did to him. We killed him. But the reality is he had to do it for us. And I wonder if you're here today, are you a believer? Have you ever come to the knowledge that you know that you know that you know that you're saved? I love how that's said. My pastor from my home church used to say it that way. And it's so clear. And I wonder if that's you today. Do you know that you're a believer here today? Do you know that you're saved? Do you remember that decision that you made? It's not five decisions in one. It's just one decision. It doesn't have to be in a church. It could be in your home right here, right now. But have you prayed a prayer asking Christ to come into your life? Because here in a minute, I'm going to talk about a concept that if you're not saved today, you're not going to get. And you're not going to get the benefit of what Christ is offering you. And in verse 15, I want to read this to you. In verse 15, he says this, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know the master's business. Instead, I have called you friend, for everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Isn't that a beautiful picture? That Christ has made known to us the purpose of his heavenly Father. We're not just a servant anymore, we're a friend to Jesus. What's the difference there? The difference is it's a personal relationship with our heavenly Father, and it's found in the form of Jesus Christ. You see, he didn't hide his will, if you will. He gave us everything we need to know in his word. And I wonder today, how many times are you digging in his word for what God wants to say to you? Or are you just kind of that person, and I've done it. I'm honest, I've done it. God, you're not speaking to me today. God, you haven't really done anything for me today. Because if that's just the start of your relationship with God, you're missing out on so much. You're missing out on what he really has for you. Here's our second point today. We're going to go through these last two pretty quickly. Number two, it's time to accept his love. Just like a commandment, you know, we have to have the commitment. Love is a special thing that Christ has offered you today. But love has to have this idea of a two-way street. You see, Jesus can't just love you and it work out. You need to love Jesus back, right? I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in a friendship where I'm just loving them and they're not loving me back, right? The friendship only works when you love them back. And today, I wonder, do you have a two-way street with God, or is it just one way? Do you have a relationship with God when things are good because you think God is blessing you? Or do you have a relationship with God no matter what the circumstances is? Because guys, 2020 was hard. I don't know if I ask you right now, would you go relive 2020? I'm not sure any of us would say I'd go back and do it again. Because it was hard. But this idea of love will push you through years like 2020. It will push you into a year like 2021. You see, I think some of us have had this idea of two different types of love. The first one is conditional love. Like you have a relationship with God and Jesus when it's easy, so it's conditional on what you get or what you receive or what you can ask for. But you see, the love that they're speaking about in this verse is not that type of love. It's agapo love. And that's unconditional love. Unconditional love is the complete opposite. It is an affection without any limitations, like no strings attached type of love, or a love without conditions, like you don't put conditions on it. See, Jesus didn't put conditions on your love for him, vice versa. When he died on the cross, it was as simple as asking him to be your savior and saying, I accept that and I believe in him. He didn't put conditions on it. He makes it so freely and available for all people. And I wonder today, is that you? Are you available? Are you available to love Jesus back? Maybe some of you need to work through some stuff before you come to know Jesus. Because if someone can talk you out of following Jesus, maybe you're not ready. But today, maybe you want to work through those things that are holding you back from following Jesus. And today is the day that you get things right. Or maybe you're a believer, you're listening to it right now, and you're saying, well, what's in this message for me? For years, maybe you've understood Jesus in the wrong way. And here today, he's simply saying, I am your friend. I'm your friend. You know, all the friends that you really have to social distance from, you don't have to social distance from me. I'm not going to give you COVID. I'm not going to take away all the things in this life that you're afraid of. I just want to be there for you. I want to support you when you need me the most. I want you to know that you have a shoulder to cry on when you need to cry. And if that's you today, what are you waiting on? What's the thing that holds you back? Maybe today, right now, you can pray for that. You can give it to God because love is a two-way street. Number three, it's time to remain in him. Church, believers, it's time that we remain in Christ. I've seen too much of this in my life and also in the church, that most seasons of life were good, but when things are rocky, like I said before, it's hard to remain in him. To remain in Christ, it does take consistent effort. And really the most important part about remaining in Christ is the time that you spend with Christ. I'll repeat that again. The time that you spend with Christ is the most important part about remaining in him. If you spend no time with Christ and expect a relationship and friendship with him, you've got it all wrong. It's time that we make time in our lives again for Jesus. And I'm not just talking about Sunday. I'm not just talking about the one time in our week that we bring our family to church, because if that's all you're doing, it's not enough. Guys, I'm speaking to myself as well. We need to get back to an idea that you need a personal relationship, a friendship with him. And that is an idea that we remain in him and he remains in us. That is the only way that we have a purpose, not only as a Christian, but also as a church. Look with me, you're going to skip up in the chapter. It won't be on the screen. But in verse 5 of chapter 15, he begins to outlay this idea. He kind of uses a parable here in a sense. He says this, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done unto you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. To be truthful with you, this verse is exactly what we're talking about. It's time to remain in Christ again. And today, as we begin to close, I hope that you will make that commitment again. You know, 2020 was rough for me for many different reasons. I actually have this little stress guy up here. I don't know if you can see that or even zoom in on that. He's kind of wore down a little bit. You know, 2020's been rough. This little man says, approach me, you can't really see the me anymore, with caution. It's kind of my little stress guy, you know, when I really need something to, you know, squeeze on, get my stress out. But it's so 2020 because, you know, 2020 was not easy for me. There was loved ones that I knew that passed from COVID. I heard all of your stories, and I know you know this, but there's people hurting in our church that need prayer. And one of the things that happened to me was physical. I actually tore my Achilles in 2020. And there was some dark days with that, just figuring that out and looking into that. But God showed me something. I want to end the message with this. As I begin to go through the process of surgery and going into a boot for the second time and trying to get out of a boot, what I realized was it was a hard process. That surgery itself wasn't as easy as I thought it was going to be. The weeks leading after, there was swelling and I had to ice a lot, and you know, I didn't have as much flexibility in that foot anymore. And even as I took the boot off, it didn't feel comfortable. As I made my first steps on that foot after surgery, it was almost like I didn't trust it. And then later, as I begin to have the swelling go down, and a month later from surgery, I still had to tell myself, you can trust it. And I wonder if that simple illustration is exactly what we're talking about today. That the believer for so long has started to walk the Christian life without Jesus, that now coming back to Jesus is foreign to us. It's like taking the boot off after surgery for the first time, and you're like, I don't know if I can trust this. And I want to remind you today that you can trust Jesus. You can trust him. There's been many times in my life I've questioned things, but God has always showed up. And you can trust Jesus today. Take that boot off. Remember the things that he's brought you through and the things that he's going to bring you through. And know that no matter what this life holds, there's a life after this. And that's what we believe in and what our hope is found in. The simple thought that we are covering today is this idea of remaining. If we keep God's commands, we will remain in his love. John 15:10, just to remind you of it. If we keep the commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Last verse I'll share with you is this, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any one of you is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. I'm ready to get rid of 2020. The old is gone. And I'm ready to go back to a new time, a new place, maybe in 2021, where we begin to understand this idea of following Jesus daily. Here's my question for you. What do you do daily for Jesus? What are the simple acts right now in your daily life that lead you to him? Are you praying on a consistent basis? Are you reading his word on a consistent basis? I wonder what it would look like if you begin to spend your day with Jesus. If you begin to walk with Jesus just all the time. If you woke up and you said, God, I want you to speak to me. Jesus, will you walk with me today? If you went to eat breakfast and you talked to him for the first time in the morning and just said, God, thank you for waking me up today. During lunch, if you begin to say, hey, thank you for this lunch. Thank you for getting me to this place in life. Thank you for my family, my work. And maybe right before you went to bed, what if you thanked him for the day? What would your life look like if every day this next year you spent time with Jesus? For 12 months, could you make a 12-month commitment right now? Not the weight loss goal, right? Not the diet goal. Not the goal, I'm going to run, you know, a mile every day goal. What if you just made a goal for Jesus and see what happens? Made a commitment that every day I'm going to remain in him and he's going to remain in me because he loves me and he showed that first, right? And that's going to be my challenge in 2021, that I live more like him and that he's my friend. Because I don't know about you, but I need a friend right now. In closing, I'm going to read you a song that kind of came to my heart as I prepared for this message. It's a simple song, but it's one that I remember by heart. It's What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And the author of this is, I began to look up some of the background of this song, and one of the things that kind of hit me was, man, he had a rough life. His name was Joseph Skirvine, and he was a poem writer. He actually wrote What a Friend We Have in Jesus as a poem first. In 1855, what we understand, his mother became sick. And he actually wrote this letter, this poem of What a Friend We Have in Jesus to his mother to encourage her. And in his life, a lot of ups and downs, just like we all have faced recently. But some that he faced, he actually lost two of his spouses before they were supposed to be married. Actually, one he lost the day before they were supposed to be married. I don't know about you. I haven't lost a spouse. Maybe you have, but that must have been hard. So I want to read this to you, and I'm going to pray right after. And I pray after I read this that you would just deal with God, have a prayer with God right where you're at. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms, he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find thy solace there. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this simple, true message of John 15. I pray this week that they would go back and read John 15, let it speak into their lives. Lord, I'm so thankful for your Spirit today, that no matter where someone is watching, you're there with them. And I pray that not only would you convict them of things they need to not only give to you today, that you would convict the person in the audience right now that is a sinner and who is lost. They've never accepted you as their Savior. And even right now, whether they're at a computer screen or in their front room, they would say a prayer of salvation. God, I need you. You sent your Son for me in the form of Jesus Christ on the cross. I pray I would accept that gift, a friendship with Jesus, my Savior. Amen. Thanks for joining us today, guys. We'll see you soon.